the Passover with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanks and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. And likewise, he took the cup and he gave thanks. Said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It's the cup of my blood that will be spilled for you and poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that we can gather around your table to celebrate what you have done for us on the cross. But God, we also celebrate your resurrection that gives life. So Father, just be with us today. It's in your name we do pray. Amen. Stand with us if you would. We just want to sing another verse of that hymn. You're visiting with us today. We've been in a kind of a lengthy but a really good series called Renewing Your Commitment. And we've looked at just a lot of things. And over the last month, we've been in really looking at some verses in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And last week, we started really in verse 47, where it talks about the fact, "And God added to their number daily those who were being saved." In other words, this new church full of new believers who basically had to meet in homes or catacombs, they were doing such an amazing job of just giving life to people that people were coming to Christ on a daily basis, and God was adding to their numbers daily. It was amazing. So the next 2 weeks, today and then next week, we're going to still be looking at that same thing. Next week is going to be kind of just the practical side of how you can share your faith. So I just want to kind of break it down and give you some practical things. But today I just want to continue kind of with what we talked about and began last week. So let's we'll get started here. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Thank you for taking the time to come and be a part of our service here. My prayer is that you'll be blessed. My prayer is that you will be enriched and you will find this to be a loving body of believers who just want to serve Jesus. That's what my hope is. So when I was a kid growing up, I was probably, I don't know, about this time it was about fifth or sixth grade. And so in my town of Brazil, Indiana, I just rode my bike everywhere. And so in the summers, if I wasn't at the ball field playing baseball, playing Little League, then I was at the city pool swimming. Now, you got to know that we actually, for our size of a town, we had a really nice city pool. And I never have been a real fan of the water. I mean, I drink it, right? I wash in it. But as far as swimming in it, that's not necessarily one of my greatest gifts. But I can swim. I was in Scouts and had to learn how to swim. So I can swim. But when we would go to the pool, when I would go there with my buddies, usually just a couple day afternoons a week, but I would spend most of my time in the shallow end because I just wasn't comfortable in the deep end. My buddies, though, they love jumping off the diving board. They love spending time in the deep end. But I just kind of found my way to the shallow end. That was my comfort zone. That was my safe zone. That's where I knew everything was going to be okay. And they would come as well, and they would hang out with me because in one area of the shallow end, they had a volleyball net, and you could play volleyball in the water. They had some other things that you could do. So it was kind of cool. But, again, a lot of the time I would be watching them go off the board, and they would always say, "You don't know what you're missing. You got to come and join us in the deep. You got to get out of the shallow end, and you got to join us in the deep." Finally, when I was in the sixth grade, that summer, after hearing that week after week, I finally decided, you know what? I'm going to do it. Tomorrow when we're at the pool, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in, I'm going to jump off the board, and I'm going to jump into the deep end. And so the next day, we were at the pool in the afternoon, and I found myself hanging out in the shallow end for about 45 minutes trying to build up the courage to get off that board. And they would always encourage me. They never put me down. They would just encourage me. So finally I go, I got to do this. So I climb out of the shallow end. I take the walk around the pool to where the diving board was. And my buddies were ahead of me. So they went off and they're kind of waiting on the side as it was my turn, and I take the two or three steps leading up to the diving board. I walk out to the end, and they're cheering me on, saying, "You can do it. You can do it. Just jump. It's going to be okay." And I brought my goggles, so I put my goggles on. I was going to hold them because I really wanted to see what was in that deep end, right? And so I counted to three, and I jumped, and it was amazing. I mean, I went under the water, my goggles were still on, and I opened my eyes, and I could see the deep, and I came up, and I went to the side, and I told my buddies, I said, "Let's go again. This was awesome." Because I finally moved from the shallows to the deep. Now, why do I tell you that? Well, here's the point. We must get to the place where we acknowledge that there's more to life than what we see in the shallows, what we experience in the shallows. More to life than what just appears on the surface. More to life than just what's in our own little safe comfort zones. We need to come to the place where we acknowledge that God is calling us to more. God is calling us to the deep. Now, to get an idea of what I'm talking about, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, because it's here that Jesus calls Peter and the others to more. He calls them to the deep. So let's pray and then we'll jump in. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for all you do. God, this morning as we begin to unpack this, God, may you speak into our hearts. May you look inside of us and begin to show us those things that need to change, those areas that need to change. But most importantly today, Father, help us to see that we can't remain in the shallows. Because what you have for us, what you have called us to, is in the deep. And so, Father, help us today to see that and to begin to make some changes. Now, Father, may my words not be yours, mine, but may they be yours today, Father. May you speak through me, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we come into this chapter, it's probably only been a short time since Jesus had first met Peter. And the Gospel of John tells us that Peter had first been introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. And the two of them, along with James and John, had traveled with Jesus through Galilee and Capernaum. But for whatever reason, they had returned to their fishing business. In fact, we know from Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39, that Jesus had visited Simon's home. Simon was Simon before he was Peter, right? So Jesus had visited Simon's home and had even healed his mother-in-law of a high fever. So at this point, I believe that Peter was a lot like a lot of well-meaning church people today that are across this country. He was kind of a part-timer, right? He was just kind of a part-timer. He had spent some time with Jesus. He had even witnessed a miracle from Jesus, but his relationship with Jesus was fairly uncommitted. He stayed on the surface. He stayed in the shallows. But all that was about to change. So as we come into chapter 5, Peter and his friends have been out fishing all night. They worked hard, but they hadn't caught anything. And now they're simply tired, and they're up on the shore, and they're cleaning out their nets. And Jesus comes along, and he's preaching to a small group that builds to a crowd. And Jesus is preaching, and he's speaking, and as the crowd increases, they begin to push in on Jesus. And so Jesus sees Peter's boat, and he simply climbs into Peter's boat, and then he asks Peter, he says, hey, just push out a little bit into the shallows. Just push out into the shallows. And that allowed him some space, and it allowed the crowd to grow and to gather so that they could hear Jesus speak. So Jesus continues to preach, and when he's done, the crowd basically just scatters and goes back to their home. Now, by now, it's roughly midday, and Jesus turns to Peter, and this is what he says in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Push out into the deep water, and let your nets out for a catch. Push out into the deep water, and let your nets out for a catch. Now, there's probably all kinds of reasons that Peter could have given for not wanting to do this. Right? First of all, Jesus is a nice guy, but he's not necessarily a fisherman. He was a carpenter turned preacher. Secondly, it was way too hot in midday to fish. Thirdly, Peter and his friends are tired and they've been out all night and they didn't catch a thing, and now they just want to go get some sleep. But here's Jesus going, no, I just want you to push your boat out. Take it out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Now, here's my first observation today that I want to give you, and it's this. Jesus wasn't asking Peter to take him fishing. That's not what he was doing. He wasn't saying, hey, Peter, I'm really not much of a fisherman, so I just want you to take me fishing and teach me how to fish. It's not what he was doing. What he was doing was this. He was asking him to leave the shallows, to go into the deep, and let down his nets for a catch. Now, why is that significant? Well, it's significant because it's in the deep that Peter's going to learn a very important lesson, not only about Jesus, but about obedience. In fact, for the very first time in Peter's fishing career, catching fish now wasn't up to him. It wasn't up to chance, and it wasn't up to dumb luck. Guess what? Instead, it was up to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who said, go to the deep, cast out your net for a catch. This fishing trip was all on Jesus. Now, as I thought about that, I began to understand why some people, I think, have a problem with leaving the shallows to go out into the deep. In other words, to go out there and share with people. The problem is, sometimes we think it's all up to us. That it's all up to us. Now, Lucy and I, before I became an interim pastor, we lived just outside Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we lived in a kind of a suburb called Louisville. And then just south of us was another suburb called Clemens. But it really was only from where we lived, maybe 2 or 3 miles. I mean, it wasn't far at all. And in Clemens, right behind kind of the main strip where a lot of the shopping was, a lot of the restaurants were, kind of back behind that, just kind of hidden, was this really cool lake. And it had a walking trail around it. And Lucy and I would go almost every day and walk around that lake because it was just beautiful and it was a good walk. And just about every day we were there, there would be people who were out there fishing. Not a lot. But there would always be maybe a handful of people who were fishing. And if you've got to know me at all, you know that really I don't know a stranger, so I just go up to anybody and talk. So I'd usually go up to somebody and say, hey, man, how's it going? Are you catching anything today? And usually the response was this, no, just doesn't seem to be biting, not catching anything. There'd be a few times when somebody may have caught, you know, something little, you know, but not much. But then this one day, as we're walking, I talk to this one guy. I say, caught anything? Nah, haven't caught anything today. But I tell you what, this was like Tuesday. On Thursday, I'm going to catch a lot. I'm going, now how does he know that? I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, because the county's going to come in and they're going to stock this lake with over 500 fish. Right? And sure enough, when Lucy and I walked, I think it was on a Thursday, there must have been 50 people surrounding that lake, and they were all fishing, and most people were catching stuff. They were catching, not stuff. Yeah, I pulled out a boot, and here's a car. No, they were catching fish. I mean, it was crazy. Now, why am I telling you that? It's because of this. Here's what we have to understand. We are only responsible for one thing when it comes to sharing our faith, and that is this, being obedient to God's call. He is responsible for providing the fish. God's responsible, not you, for providing the fish. Just like those fishermen, it really wasn't up to them. It was up to the county because they're the ones that stocked the lake with fish. We are just responsible for being obedient to Jesus' call because he's responsible for providing the fish. He's responsible for providing the opportunities with our family, with our neighbors, with our classmates, with our coworkers. Providing us with those opportunities to share Jesus with people. And here's the cool thing. When we go and share out of obedience to his call, even though we're tired, even though we've been there before, guess what? People's lives will be changed. People will be changed. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. So here's what I hope that you'll never forget. True happiness and fulfillment in life only comes when we are obedient to the call of God on our life. True happiness and true fulfillment only comes when we are obedient, when we are obedient to the call of God on our life. Why? Because when we're obedient to God's call, it's no longer about me. It's no longer about what I want. It's no longer about what I desire. Now it's about Him and doing His will in and through our lives. And He will always provide, always. So Peter obeys, and when they get to the deep water, he lets down his nets, and guess what? I mean, Jesus doesn't disappoint, man. He supplies, right? I mean, He supplies because there are so many fish that the nets are beginning to break, and they got to call in reinforcements, and everyone is blown away. And Peter, man, his mind is so blown that he falls on his knees and he declares his sinfulness and he declares Jesus' holiness. Look at verse 8. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. Master, leave. I'm a sinner and I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself. Here's my second observation today. There are two things that happened that day that were significant. So significant that they caught the attention of everyone that was there. And the first thing was this. Peter changed his view of himself. Peter changed his view of himself. Up until now, having a net full of fish was Peter's life's goal. I mean, it was how he defined his happiness and his success. I mean, his whole life was centered around his boat, around his business, around the water, and around fish. But now, he's got more fish than he knows what to do with, and he realizes that this isn't what ultimately will make him happy. He realizes that there's so much more when you leave the shallows to go to the deep. The second thing that changed was this. He changed his view of Jesus. He changed his view of Jesus. He had just pulled in the biggest haul of fish he had ever seen, and instead of throwing a party and having a fish fry, Peter falls to his knees, and he says, I'm a sinner, but Jesus, you're not. You're holy. I'm not even worthy enough to be in your presence. And in that moment, he realized that Jesus was more than just a traveling preacher. He was more than just an acquaintance. He was someone he could give his life to, someone he needed to follow. And in that moment, he moved spiritually from the shallows to the deep, from the casual to the committed. Here's the thing, or here's something else that I hope you'll never forget. At some point in your life, just like Peter did, you must fall to your knees. You must acknowledge your sinfulness and Jesus' holiness. Every single person in here will have to do that at some point. It will either be your choice or you'll do it on the day of judgment when it's too late. Because Jesus said, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord, that He's the Holy One. Now, why do I say this? It's because there may be some in this room who are a lot like Peter was. Your relationship with Jesus is still pretty casual. I mean, maybe even part-time, and you're content to remain in the shallows where there is no risk and where you can remain in your comfort zone. I mean, there may be some here who just, I mean, you like to come, you like the people, you like to get coffee, you like to get a donut, but it really is not much past that. You just really haven't yet surrendered your life to who Jesus is, and you're not. To surrender your life to who you are, a sinner, and who Jesus isn't, He's not a sinner. He's just the holy Lamb of God. You see, if you want to be a gift bearer in somebody's life, You must be willing to move from the shallows to the deep, because it's in the deep that we find what real life is all about. That's where it's found. Not in the shallows, not in your safe little comfort zones. It's found in the deep. Verses 10 and 11 go on to say, Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up on the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. Wow. I mean, can you imagine? Here's a guy whose whole life was spent in the water, who was spent fishing. That was his business. And in one moment, when he moves from the casual to the committed, everything stops, everything drops, and now he follows Jesus. I mean, it's crazy, right? But that's what Jesus called him to do. You see, Jesus called them that day to more. He called them to more, to leave that which was comfortable for that which was unknown, to take their commitment from the shallows to the deep, to stop talking about fish and to become fishers of men and women. I mean, we talk a good game, right? I mean, that's just who we are in most churches today. But are we fishing? There's an old joke about two fishermen who went out early on a very cold morning just to fish, just to hang out. And this lake was beautiful, but it was basically empty. Nobody was out there but these two guys. And they kind of went back into this secluded cove area. And the one guy, he got ready and got his bait ready and sat in the boat in the front and cast out and just began to fish. When all of a sudden he heard this explosion that was coming somewhere from the back, and there was water flying everywhere, and he turned around to see fish, dead fish floating to the top, and his buddy scooping them out with a net. And before he could say anything, his buddy lit another stick of dynamite and threw it on the other side, and a huge explosion, and dead fish is rising to the surface. And the guy goes, "What in the world are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I'm fishing." He goes, "No, you can't do that. That's illegal. If we get caught, we're in trouble. You cannot do that." And as he's trying to convince his buddy takes another stick of dynamite, lights it, throws it in the guy's lap, and simply says, "Are you going to talk or are you going to fish?" Now, that's humorous, right? But the truth is, what if Jesus was standing before you today, this is what I think he would say. Are you going to talk about it or are you going to fish? Are you going to just talk? Are you going to talk about what you do as a church? Are you going to talk about your Sunday school class? Are you going to talk about your small group? Are you going to talk about this and this that we do all as a church? Or are you going to go out there and are you going to begin fishing? That's what Jesus, I think, would say to us today. It's time to just stop talking a good game, and it's time to get in the game and begin to fish. And that's a question that Peter had to answer that day, and it's a question that we all have to answer as well. Are we going to talk or are we going to fish? Are we going to remain in the shallows and in our own circles of comfort, or are we going to be obedient and push out into the deep and trust him to provide? Paul Harvey once said, and I like this, "Christians too often forget that they are supposed to be fishers of men, not just keepers of the aquarium." We do a really good job today in churches all across this country of just keeping the aquarium up and running, but never add new fish. We just like to keep the aquarium. So as we think about becoming fishers of men and women, there are two things that we have to understand. The first is this: the priority is always people. It always is. The priority is always people. It's not programs. Now, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with programs. But some churches make programs the priority. And so it's like, well, if this program's not working, or if we're not doing this kind of a program or this kind of program, something must be wrong with the church. No. Why? Because it's not about programs. People's the priority. It's not keeping the right procedures. Some churches are all about doing the right things, you know, the right procedures. It's not about that. It's about people. It's about taking walks with people. It's about caring more about other people than about ourselves. It's having this sort of radical inclusiveness for people, even if they look, talk, act, vote, or smell different than we do. And why is Jesus so convinced that living this way is really a better option? Well, one reason is because this is the way the kingdom gets built. I mean, this is the way God's kingdom gets built, is when you and I are out there fishing. When you and I are out there sharing our faith, sharing what Jesus is doing in our life with people who are far from God, people who just need to know and hear about Jesus. That's the way the kingdom of God gets built. You see, we've got to understand one thing. When Jesus said we need to go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them, when he said, you will be my witnesses in Acts chapter 1, guess what? There was no plan B. You'll never find a plan B in the Bible. Plan A is that the kingdom is going to be built through us. And if we're not doing it, God's kingdom's not being built. So that's one reason that the priority has to be people, is because this is the way the kingdom gets built. But another reason is because this is the way our souls get satisfied. I mean, I'll be really honest with you. You will never have true soul satisfaction if you're trying to get it from your bank account or your home or your car or a job, or the greatest vacation you've ever taken. That's not going to satisfy that soul in you. Your soul can only be satisfied by being obedient and becoming fishers of men and women. Here's the thing. I think Jesus knew that if you and I would build a lifestyle around accepting people, getting to know people, caring for people, serving people, listening to people, embracing people, building relationships with people, and exposing people to spiritual things, guess what? We will never crave the old life. We'll never crave the old life again. If our life is centered around people. But the second thing I want you to understand is this. Not only is the priority always people, but the focus is always on potential. The focus is on potential. Here's the amazing thing about Jesus. It didn't seem to matter that by anyone's standards, Peter and the others were probably weren't the most obvious choices for first-class followers of the one and only Messiah. I mean, when you really come down to it. But Jesus was able to look past their flaws and to envision what they could become once the power of God was released in them. I mean, he looked past self-centeredness and saw the potential for servanthood. He looked past the rebelliousness and saw the potential for righteousness. He looked past the quick temper and saw the potential for kingdom building. Which brings me to this. What do you see when you look at people? Seriously, what do you see when you look at people? With those you meet and spend time with on a daily basis? Is your focus on who they are and what they've done? Or do you see them for what they could become when Jesus gets a hold of their life? I mean, is that what you see in people? Or how about this? What was it in your life? Just take a moment and think about this. What was it in your life that Jesus looked past in order to accept, embrace, and enfold you into his grace? What was it in your life? What did he look past in order to bring you into his family? Because I guarantee you that he looked past something in all of us. You see, the key is to let God do his work in people's lives and hearts instead of suiting up to become lifestyle referees for everybody we meet. Here's my prayer. My prayer is that we will approach people with the same radical inclusiveness, with the same eye for potential that we are so grateful that Jesus had for us. Yeah. Yeah. There's another me in the room. How did that happen? Did I get cloned? No. Let me back up here. My prayer is that we will approach people with the same radical inclusiveness, the same eye for potential that we are so grateful Jesus had for us. After all, he saw something so valuable in us that he was willing to die right in the middle of our sin. I mean, that's what Romans tells us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right in the middle of our sin, Jesus died for us. If the worship team will make their way up, here's what I want us to do. If somebody could bring me one of those cards that we passed out, if there's some back there, can you bring me that? Yeah. I want you to have that. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to do something just a little different before we sing. Last week, I mentioned who's your one. I mean, who's that one person in your life that you really believe God has placed on your heart that you need to share with, that you need to talk with? That one person that you need to just spend some time getting to know so that they might come into a relationship with you. Because I guarantee you, we all have people. It's like I said last week. The reason we don't see them is because we're not praying for them. Because I guarantee you, God brings people into your life every single day who need him. But if we're not praying for it, we'll probably not see it. I mean, I told you last week, that's why I study in restaurants. That's why I go places to study, so I can meet people, so I can talk with people. Because I want Jesus to bring people into my life that I can share with and talk to. That's why I go to the gym. That's why I do the things I do. Because one of the things I've told you before, I'll never ask you to do anything that I won't do. And so who's your one? Who's that person? I was at the restaurant one day in Clemens, just outside Winston-Salem. I was studying at a place where I'd go a lot. I was back in the corner because they just leave me. I mean, the waiters and waitresses, the owner, they just know, and they knew me, and they leave me alone, just bring me. Now, sometimes they don't even have to order. They just knew what I wanted and bring it to me. And I'm sitting there studying on my sermon when there was about two or three booths ahead of me on a step down was a couple older ladies, and one of them just got up and came back, and she said, what do you do? I see you have your computer open. Do they have pretty good Wi-Fi here? And I go, actually, yeah, I said they do. She said, well, what are you studying? I go, well, I'm actually a pastor, and I'm just working on my sermon. So we began to talk. And she said, you know the lady down there I'm with? She says, yeah, I'm getting ready to take her to the doctor, the hospital tomorrow because she's having surgery, and she's just really scared. She said, would you just pray for her? I said, well, yeah, I'll pray for her. And so she went, and she sat back down. I just kept studying. And this is where I've told you before, you've got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and His encouragement to you. And so after probably 15 or 20 minutes, I saw them get up and I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to go pray with them in person, not just where you're at. I said, okay. So I got up, I went. And we stood in the middle of the restaurant and I prayed for her and I prayed for her surgery. I prayed for her relationship with Jesus. I prayed that people would come into her life who would love on her and encourage her. I have those opportunities because I pray for those opportunities. And I expect God to provide, like I talked about earlier. Our responsibility is obedience. His responsibility is to provide. So here's what I want you to do. Did everyone get a card? If you did not get a card, raise your hand and we'll get you one. Did everybody get a card? Anybody not have one? Okay, we need one right here. Ben, right over here. Or Scott. Here, you can take this one now. I got it. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to spend a moment praying over this card. On the back is a place where you can write a name. I'm not asking you to put down 15 people that you want to share Jesus with. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you just who's your one. Who's the one person? And then here's what I want you to do. I want you to place that card somewhere where you see it every single day. And then I want you to pray over that card every single day. And I want you to pray, God, give me an opportunity today to share with them. To just share my story with them. To share what you have done for me. Just pray for those opportunities. And you place that somewhere you can see it. Then here's what I want you to do. This is my encouragement. You may not, and that's okay. But if God honors that prayer and you get that opportunity to talk with them, I want you to let me know. I just want you to let me know. And here's the other thing I want you to understand is, if they begin to ask questions of you, it is okay to say, I don't know. I don't know the answer. But it's also okay to say, but I tell you what, I can take you to someone who can help us. And you let me know, you let Rodney know or Caleb know or somebody know that you can take them to and have somebody else then talk with them as well. Remember, you don't have to have all the answers. The only thing people want of you is your story and what God is doing in your life. So take a moment. Just everyone, just take a moment. I want you to fill that card out the best you can. If you don't know yet, then take it home and pray over it. But I just want to give a few minutes where you can just do this. So let's just take a moment.